All right, let's get back to business. On the phone with us right now from OregonCatalyst.com is our old pal Dan Lucas. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Bill?
Much better now that I have my Twinkies. All right, Dan, I'm going to read the title of this article that you wrote. Are the rich in Oregon paying enough taxes? That seems to be a question that comes up every election cycle, and it's a real popular one with people, isn't it?
It is, and it was, you know, I think we, all of us in this past campaign cycle, saw it on commercials, especially national commercials, but even local ones, and then the flyers all saying, well, the tax aren't paying their fair, the rich aren't paying their fair share of taxes, and we need to tax the rich more.
Yeah. All right, so let's answer the question. Are the rich in Oregon paying enough taxes?
The rich in Oregon, so-called rich, are already paying most of the taxes.
Maybe, wait, let's step back. We should probably define what is rich.
Yeah, and actually there's lots of different definitions of it. You know, sometimes it depends on what they want to do that particular day, but one of the numbers that I looked at recently, it said that anybody over $500,000 a year, and sometimes they use, like I think Measure 66, they basically use couples making over $250,000 a year,
yeah,
for the rich. So it
yeah,
varies, but the ones making over $500,000 a year in Oregon, have the number of those have dropped by 36%.
Gee, I wonder why, Dan.
Yeah,
do you think it might have anything to do with Measure 66 and 67?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, okay. So if we define, let's use the 500,000, because look, somebody making 25,000 considers anything over that rich.
Right.
But the whole definition of who's rich. I have heard, you know, 250 is considered rich. $250,000.
Right.
And a million. Oh, that's really rich. And with inflation and the costs and the way thing is, that's not really that rich. Yes, it's probably richer than most of us right now listening, but it's not really rich. I would consider Bill Gates rich.
Right.
All right. So, if we, let's say we go with the 500,000 or so as the margin, how much are these people paying of our Oregon taxes?
So in Oregon, and this doesn't even go by, well, you'll see. So the top 10% of taxpayers in Oregon pay more than half of all the income taxes.
More than half?
Right. The top 10% pay more than half.
10%. Okay.
So how is right, that fair? And then we're talking about taxing them further. So
yeah,
then the middle income people, they're about 30% of the tax filers, and they pay about 35% of the income taxes. So they pay a little bit more, of the income taxes than they are percentage wise of the taxpayers. And then the bottom 60% in Oregon only pay 13% of the income taxes.
Okay.
Bottom 60 only pay 13% of the income taxes.
So the top 10% pay a little over half.
Yep.
The middle pay about 35%.
Yep.
And the bottom 60 pay 13%.
Yep. And
yep,
then if you really narrow it down to the top 1%, you know,
all right,
you're all about the 1%.
Oh yeah, yeah, the 1%, yeah, evil 1%.
Exactly. Thank goodness we have them, because the top 1% in Oregon pay 20% of the income taxes.
Oh, but they should pay more, Dan, because they have so much more to give to us.
And then just as an interesting fluke, the bottom 20% of taxpayers pay less than 1% of the taxes. I mean, it's already the so-called rich are paying most of the taxes.
When I read your numbers, I have to admit, I have these right in front of me, and I'm reading them along with you as you talk. My mind is numbed. It really is, at how ridiculous it is that people fall for this then every time when it's like a Measure 66, 67 comes up, or let's say Measure 85 in this last election.
Right.
It was all about those evil rich people that aren't paying their fair share.
Right. And I was astonished. Half of Americans don't pay federal income taxes.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Mitt Romney say something about the 47%?
Yeah, I think since the election we've discovered it's a little bit over 50.
Don't pay anything.
Yeah.
So
and yet
they benefit the most from the services, don't they?
Right. Yeah.
Amazing. This is Dan Lucas with us. He is the editor and head honcho over at OregonCatalyst.com. And you can read this story at OregonCatalyst.com. It's entitled, Are the Rich in Oregon Paying Enough Taxes? All right, so you also wrote a three-part series, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, because that's the other thing. And already, I don't know if you saw it, obviously after the election, at least, the state budget doubled in 10 years. Between the budget ending 2001 and the budget ending 2011, it doubled from $30 billion to $60 billion. Then in this current budget cycle, the taxes and the spending were pretty much held in check, and a lot of that had to do with because the Republicans had that 30-30 split in the House. Well, now we've lost that, so now the Democrats run everything. They've got the governor's office, they've got the House, the Senate, and all the statewide positions. So I think we can look at taxes going up. And already the Oregonians run an op-ed saying, well, maybe we should look at a sales tax.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And not taking away the other legs of the stool.
They
just add to.
And thank goodness, even though Tina Kotek and OEA don't think we need PERS reform, Kitzhaber came out in the last couple of days, or over the weekend, actually, and said he does think we need to look at PERS reform.
Yeah,
that would be good.
He did say that
tons of this tax money that they're going to raise is going to go to pay for past excesses of PERS. They did do some things in 2003 that fixed it going forward, but they didn't fix the past excesses. So people who've retired after 30 years, so if you went to work at 18, you can retire at 48, mm-hmm. and then you collect, including Social Security, 107% of your working salary. And to pay for that, we're increasing taxes everywhere, and that's why PERS reform has to happen before they talk about any kind of new taxes. And then the next thing that they have to look at, and this is in those articles I wrote, they have to fund schools first. Mm-hmm. Not just pass it first in the budget. That was a good step, but we need to fund it first so that it stops so the Democrats can't keep using it as a budget hostage.
Yeah.
Where they say, oh, the schools need money, which they do, but then they don't give the money to the schools.
They grow other state
agencies, and then they come back again. They go, oh, we got to tax the rich. We got to tax, people with blue cars. We got to tax everybody because we don't have enough money for the schools. And it never ends up going to the schools. It goes to other places. They just use the schools as a budget hostage.
Yeah. as you wrote, back to taxing the rich, which is such a popular item, not only with Democrats. Now, obviously, I don't see Republicans saying that, but people, I guarantee you there are Republicans that heard that message and went, oh, yeah, taxing the rich is a good thing. It doesn't hurt me.
Right, and that's the key. It doesn't hurt me.
The selfishness, exactly.
Yes.
Okay, another problem with taxing the rich, quote-unquote, is that many of the higher-income earners are actually small businesses who create jobs. So what is the effect of that?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think we've seen this with Oregon. The more you penalize the people who produce, the worse your economy is going to be. Because what incentive do these people have? First of all, you're taking money out of their pockets so they can't grow jobs. They can't grow their businesses. They can't hire more employees. So what do you think that does to our economy? And that's why I think that's one of the reasons nationally and statewide we're seeing that we're not getting out of this this slump.
Mm-mm.
Because we hammer and go after the very people who are the producers who create jobs. We take money out of their pockets. How are they supposed to grow the economy if we keep taking money out of the pockets of small business owners?
And on top of that, you take like Measure 66, 67, and the effect was instead of taxing the rich, it brought in, what, three-quarters of what they projected?
Yeah, exactly. Measure 66, the one that was, the 67 went after businesses, and 66 went after the so-called rich. It brought in less than three-fourths of the taxes projected. And that was in the first year. And then this biennium, it's only going to bring in 60% of what they projected.
And yet I remember 2009 so well of the barrage of ads from the public employees unions and others who just kept hammering everybody that if we don't raise this, if we don't do this, grandma's going to be in the street eating cat food. I mean, And everybody fell for it because they passed by a large margin.
Well, and I think you hit on it earlier, Bill, and that unfortunately there's a lot of folks who, as long as it's somebody else, they think it's going to be somebody else paying for it, they'll vote for it.
Oh.
What they don't realize is they may be just taxed their boss or the owner of the company they're working for, and then they may get laid off in 6 months.
Yep.
Or not get hired because the person who could have created a job for them, they just voted a tax on them. So the money goes to the government to pay for PERS excesses instead of hiring them to work.
People need to understand, Dan, whether it's a tax on you or anybody else, it's not a good thing.
Not exactly.
A good thing. It's going to hurt somebody, and eventually it will come back to bite you on the butt as well. Every single one of us are going to get hurt whenever you raise taxes on somebody else.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's also, it's just wrong. Yeah. I mean, when you look at how such a small percentage of people are paying so much of the taxes, how on earth is that fair?
Yeah, and to me, and to go with that is the large amount of people who use the services that don't pay any taxes.
Right. They don't pay any income taxes. I'm sure they pay some other taxes, but still, that's not fair. And then those same folks can vote for politicians who will continue to give them benefits or maybe even grow their benefits and tax the people who are already overtaxed, tax them even more.
Mm.
And then, you know, that's the kind of thing that leads to a situation like they have in Greece.
Yes, exactly. All right, so I want to, if you want to learn more about this, there's links to all kinds of links that Dan has put in his article. Go to OregonCatalyst.com and look for that article from Dan Lucas. Dan, thanks again for enlightening us with this news. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill, and have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Dan Lucas from OregonCatalyst.com. Please go read that article. That's how you know, is by getting yourself informed. Learn more at that article. It's a great article. It had, like I said, it has links to all kinds of things to substantiate everything that he's saying. It's not just like he's pulling this out of the thin air and going, looky here. He is backing himself up with facts. And that's why I wanted to talk to him a little bit. I mean, it's just really, really, really a tragic situation. And it's only going to get worse in Oregon. And as much as I would like to put a happy face on everything and silver lining on things, people are talking about what's going to happen from Washington, D.C. I am much more concerned about what's going to happen from the marble building downtown Salem come January, February, when the legislature meets. And it's controlled by the Democrats once again.